On Mother's Day morning, a few years ago, my family invited me into the backyard, and there, carefully placed, were all the components, odd, pale, and puzzling, of a Mother's Day gift, a honey beehive. To be clear, we had talked about this, it just came as a surprise that day. There were hive boxes painted pale yellow, frames like picture frames that, when slid vertically into the hive box, hold the picturesque activities of extraordinary bees. A white jacket with hat and veil, with zippers and drawstrings and other assuring closures. A bucket of bizarre tools. A smoker, small metal can with handle and bellows and a hinged chimney lid. And of course, there were the honeybees. 3 pounds of honeybees. 10,000 honeybees in a small box marked in red ink, live bees. It was a curated pile of thrill. A friend, a beekeeper, was also there, smiling and holding a beekeeper's manual. She knew me well. She was there to help me follow directions. There are many ways to install honeybees into a new hive, but one thing seems consistent. Rushing through the mechanics of bee care is an instinct born of impatience. A beehive is filled with zingy little mindfulness teachers, reminding you that there is plenty to do in the present moment if you just stay focused. Following instructions, we were ready. The hive box in place, the smoker puffing cool and calming smoke, jackets in all ways cinched up. And with a box of live bees in my hand, I was eager to know what came next. Instructions read, "Open the box and pour the bees into the deep, the bottommost box of the hive." Further instructions read, "A light but firm tap will bring the bees out. Tip gently, tap firmly." I tipped, I tapped, and 10,000 bees billowed, then spilled, slump lump, into the hive box where they clung, a roiling fizz-whiz bouquet of vibrating bees, attaching themselves to the inside wall. Instructions read, "Encourage the bees deeper into the hive before sliding in the frames. Get them to go deeper? How?" I asked my friend. She smiled, held up her hand, wiggled her fingers. "Encourage them," she said. So with my gloved hand, I reached into the deep. With the tips of my fingers, I touched the bees. Bellies striated ochre and gold, delicate twitching antennae, saucerant wings, dancing feet, 6 to each. 10,000 moving as one against my nudging, adjusting to the intrusion, and dissolving the edges of my fingers into the mass of aliveness. In that moment of connection, my fingertips took hold of a memory that hums deep inside me, the birth of my child. I was encouraged then by the midwife to touch the placenta. "I think you should see this," she said. "I think you should know this," I heard. And with my daughter's 8 pounds, 1 ounce of sweet honey body on my chest now, her breath on my neck now, her heart beating on top of mine now, I reached out and with the tips of my fingers touched the soft, complicated organ, a web of first roots through which her body, all our bodies, were drawn and too becoming. I was buzzing. We all have those times, those moments when we reach into the deep, when we are brought into clear, ringing attention through our bodies, when what we know in the peripheral vision of our dim knowing comes into focus, and maybe even into our hands and hearts, and changes how we act, how we interact with the world. These moments make us vulnerable to the work of love, to the work of being alive in a body, our body, to the blessings that can come when we listen to the celebration of life that is always happening around us, in the sky above our heads, the soil and roots beneath our feet, the air we breathe, in the joy of friends, families, and strangers, in pain and sorrow. We have moments when we turn with attention to the good work of peace and poetry and song and prayer, to the awe of a wing or leaf unfurling, or the sound of clean water. We know them in our body, and we know justice in our body too. Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams, author, activist, and ordained Zen priest, calls them locations of willingness, places of vulnerability from where truly transformative action can, must come. These locations of willingness she describes as flexible, open, and soft-bellied. These are the moments we can be moved by truth. There is a frightening tenderness in these moments. Sometimes we don't get how it will turn out. Uncertainty is realistic, but fear makes us forget that. My friend wanted me to touch the bees, to know them, to know my power and the damage my hand could do. With my sweet honey child on my chest, there was a brief moment when I was terrified. How could I possibly know how to do this, actually be a mother? Fear can be enormously disconnecting, even violent to the sense of self. Trauma and grief also work on the body this way, lodging pain and hurt in the joints and synapses, freezing flexibility, understanding, and stunting emotional growth. Here in the sanctuary today, statistically, many of us have been harmed by another person. Me too. That damage is something we carry. It does affect us, and it does influence how we interact with the world. And for good reason, safety is something we know can be taken from us. Being a mother was something I had never done. And although I very much wanted to be a mom, I understood through my cultural inheritance, as a woman, you are less than. As a mother, your work will not be recognized or acknowledged as work. This is damaging stuff. I am a person of a place and time. I inherited a culture. My beliefs are influenced by cues I took, willingly and unwillingly, knowingly and unknowingly, from the culture I was steeped in. My beliefs are shifting, stubborn, ornery, and often mistaken and misguided, often self-preserving and self-protecting. They are complete and they are incomplete. My beliefs, actions, and sense of self have been influenced by the color of my skin. I need to reach deep into the work of acknowledging how I carry that damage, too. Williams' language around locations of willingness is helpful. There is a clear and painful humming in the body in the wake of injustice and brutality when a mass shooting happens again. Another body, often black or brown, is killed again. A woman is not believed again. The water in Flint is still undrinkable. Williams is the author of the book Being Black, Zen and the Art of Living with Fearlessness and Grace. She says, yes, it can be hard. She says, yes, there is love, but there is also the turning away, the refusal, the denial, that we have been trained to be in denial, and we must train ourselves out of it, train ourselves to turn back to the flexible, open, and soft-bellied moments, moments where we reframe how we see our place in the world and in our own hearts. William says, we cannot heal our society, we cannot have justice, if we do not reclaim and repair the human spirit. I believe her. In the first winter of beekeeping, I checked in on the hive, removed the stone weighing down the cover, and peeked inside, wanting to smell the cold honey, wanting to hear the cluster of bees circling the queen, doing the work of survival. Checking in on the bees was not unlike looking in on a sleeping baby. When the door opened just a crack, holding my breath and listening deeply, looking into the darkness for the rising and falling, until, connected, her breathing brings back my own. My daughter, she's not here, gratefully. My daughter is leaving for college soon. I have questions. I am checking in. Does she understand the mechanics of care? Does she pay attention to her heart? Does she know that I trust her? Does her identity rest in a place of belonging, of dignity, of worth? Can she soften enough to be moved by the truth of the other in whatever given situation? Does she know how deep connection can bring her spirit joy? Do I know she is a woman now? My family has been part of this South Church beehive for a while now. Connection and community has taught me there is cause for celebration. Celebration connects sacredness of the body with the sacredness of being alive on this live and miraculous planet. The celebration of our velvety hearts beating with the blessing of this one sweet life. It takes practice, this connection, this connecting towards justice. Practice to gain a better understanding of the denial we inherited because we live here and now in this troubled time. And we have to practice. We have to train ourselves to reach into the deep and touch what is incomplete in our understanding, whatever that means for you and your body. Environmental activist Joanna Macy says we cannot stop loving something because we think we know its future. We cannot stop loving something because we think or we feel that our love will come to nothing. We can't stop loving this world because we feel it is broken. Williams and Macy both recommend doing this work in community, in spaces where work is already happening, where hearts are open, ready to serve. South Church has done so much good work. This congregation continues to do so much connecting. Together, we may be able to understand the locations of willingness and how to be open to the damage in ourselves, in our communities, and in our country, and the damage done to our planet too. And from here, find joy and celebration in a world expanding its potential for justice. I believe that. with hearts for justice and love, and yes, so much discomfort. It can be hard. We have to reach into the deep. Our time is right here, is right now. May it be so.